Amen. Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, we will start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with the ability to praise you as we do on a regular basis and as we did last week, and all the wonderful things that you have shown us as individuals and as your son's bride. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness, so that when the latter rain falls, if we are in that generation, we'll be blessed with it, if we are so worthy. We thank you for giving us the work to do this side of the latter rain as well, so that we can help others to prepare. And thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are in need of salvation, Father, because that is first and foremost on our hearts for them. We have many that are sick, but we have some that are sick and lost. And so we pray for their salvation first. And Father, as you know, we've had many more added to the prayer list this week and even this morning in regards to some attacks from the enemy, because we are doing the work. And so we pray for them. We lift them up to you. And we pray that that hedge of angels is very, very strong around them, and that those that are attacking can see your hand move and see the smile when they expect the frown. Please bless all those that are in attendance here, as well as on the radio and in the teleconference, and all the prayer requests that have been put in the room. Thank you so much, Father, for the way you answer our prayers. And even giving us peace in our hearts when you answer no, because we trust you that much. We only want to do what's right. And thank you for accepting this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. I want to welcome Elsie and Michael and Donnie and Ronald, of course, but they've been here a while. And everybody else, we've had a few more people, I think, a couple of more people are ready for the pencils, and three are ready for the clouds, but we got some baptisms we got to take care of. And so, and for those of you that know, the pencil is a student, the cloud is a member. And then the M's, those are moderators that are, you know, keeping the room in order, because we are often attacked. And I want to praise the Lord for this Sabbath, that we have a fairly good house full here too. And so, if you're new, like Elsie and I believe Michael, I don't know, I know Ronald and Donnie have been here before, but if you want to follow along, we are on question number 26. In the study, this is the last book of the studies. Within a few weeks, we will be starting the sanctuary service, studies. And we are on question number 26. And the question is, if you want to follow along, by the way, if you're new, just click where it says. If you're using a cell phone, you can just scroll down, or depending upon the browser. Above the chat room, you got some links, and the one that says Sabbath study, if you click that, it'll bring it right down here, and then go to question number 26. But it's really just going to give you the question in a blank line. I mean, it's just, we have, one of the brothers will put the verses in the room for you. And so, question number 26, how will we become unclean just by resting or remaining within corrupted churches? And this is, like I say, the final study, lesson number 33. These are actually the baptism studies for those that are new. And this entire study was about, the title was about, it's called, Will You Become a Son or Daughter of God? And the last few questions or answers, if you will, and Bible verses that we guide, or the Lord guides the people of the truth into, has to do with the churches that so many people seem to think are safe just because the minister claims to have gone to school for a few years and or even 8 years. Some of them do that for like get a master's degree or something. But it's we all have to be Bereans. This includes the babes. You have to double check the guy on the pulpit, because being in the very last days, the overwhelming odds are that when you walk into a church, there's going to be a wolf at that pulpit. It's just par for the course for our life now. This is just the way it is now. All the Sunday-keeping pastors are false prophets. Then when Jesus said that many false prophets will come, for the basic definition of a prophet is someone who declares something that has not been written in the Scripture, and then it will back up, of course. It can be backed up with old light, because new light never contradicts old light. And so you just do the line upon line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. But when it doesn't match up and there isn't any Bible verses to back it up, and there's actually Bible verses to prove that what they're claiming is not of God, well, then they're called false prophets. And every single solitary Sunday-keeping pastor is a false prophet, because they all declare Sunday is the Sabbath. They say that the Lord changed it, but yet there's not a Bible verse to back it up, which means they're prophesying. And so you do the work. You find out if there's a line upon line or a precept upon precept. Well, there isn't. And there are many, many Bible verses that say otherwise as well. And so they are guaranteed false prophets. There's a lot of them. A lot of them out there. So, anyway, Revelation 18, verse 4 is the answer. Thank you, Brother Gorin. And thank you, Brother Dwayne, for the verses that you put in the room there. But Revelation 18, verse 4 is the answer about, well, the question again is, how will we become unclean just by resting or remaining within corrupted churches? And the answer is, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you proceed not of her plagues. You know, soon, the soon to come plague, and I have a page on the website about the plagues. We know how every single solitary one of them are going to hit. We already know. We already see the warning signs as well. Because we have eyes that see, and that's why I put the page there. It's not so much going to mean a thing to the wicked. It's not going to mean anything to people that don't read or trust Bibles. They could care less. They won't even believe it. You know, they'll see it and go, oh, that's kind of shocking. You know, it's just like with the link that I just put up the other day about the blood red rivers. No, the plague hasn't started yet, but everything's in place. Absolutely everything's in place where you're starting to get the bloody fresh water and the black seawater. You know, because you got the blood red for the fresh, and you get the blood of a dead man for the seawater. And the blood of a dead man is black. And so the soon to come plagues are the end result of all those that refuse to follow the Lord Jesus out of the churches that kicked him out. I see it. This is what gets me about modern day Christianity. I mean, I don't see how they can say that you can claim Jesus Christ on his Lord in one breath and then, you know, do something that you know is sinful in the next. That's Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, about people that call themselves Christians just to take away their shame. But they kicked Jesus out of those churches. And this is all of them now, including the Sabbath-keeping churches, you know, like the SDAs and the Sabbatarian Baptists and whatnot. And, I don't know of any Messianic Jew. I have a friend that is a Messianic Jew that used to be part of our number many, many years ago. And he still contacts me on a regular basis. For those of you that are, you know, been with us a while, you'll remember Bilzer, B-I-L-Z-E-R was his chat name. And he's in a pretty solid Messianic type church. But the only problem is they do the feast days, and so they're a little confused there. But all the churches have kicked Jesus out, as the prophecy predicted. And so, just like as we saw in the beginning, the churches began in the homes, they're going to end in the homes too. That's why we have home churches all over the world now. And so, but Revelation 14:4 also says, these are they which, speaking of us, it says, these are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And this has always amazed me about Roman Catholic, about the Roman Catholic, the very moment the priest told me to stop reading the Bible all those years ago. That shocked me. And at the same time, yeah, for those of you who don't know, I was Catholic 30-some-odd years ago. And I walked out and started warning everybody because the Lord revealed. But again, that shocked me, and at the same time, it showed me a mindset that was very dangerous to be in, because even though absolute proof is all about them declaring they are in spiritual danger, because now you can't deny it. I mean, every single solitary person will admit now, oh, yeah, our church is in apostasy. Well, then why are you staying there? You see, they seem to think there's a gray area in Christianity, but the mercy seat and the altar of burnt offering are the same height. There aren't any gray areas. It's either true or it's a lie. It's that simple. And when he says come out, he doesn't say, you know, drag your feet, go back in and try to get some of the people to come out. Which, no, he says come out, because when you come out, the people that should come out also see you leave and they get convicted. But if you stay in the pew next to them, they're going to sit tight just like you are. You know, and so some choose to stay in the church for a multitude of reasons. And so the Lord tugged on my heart many years ago. I left the Roman Catholic Church and proceeded to try to warn as many as possible. Now, yes, as we all know, truth isn't the most popular of avenues for the masses to travel in, especially in today's world where evil is good, good is evil. But as everyone in this church family knows, you simply cannot deny the love of the Holy Spirit that moves you to follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. And this is why all of us come out of those fallen churches. If they're going to kick Jesus out, we're following Jesus, because that's, you can't go there. Yeah, yeah, that was his name. He used to use the name Bad Boy Bilzer. And then he shortened it to Bilzer later on, if you remember, Mary. But anyway, after 10 years, now get this. This is what's scary about Catholicism. And even with some other religions, too, because a lot of the church, well, all of them actually now, including the SDAs, embrace Vatican dogma. And for those of you a little shocked about me saying that about the SDAs, go to sdaapostasy.org and look at the one doc file, and it's huge, called Roman SDA. You wouldn't believe what's going on behind closed doors. And I didn't believe it was going on behind closed doors either after I left the Catholic Church. I still didn't know a lot of the stuff that my so-called church was doing, even though I never joined it. I was just born into it. But after 10 years of leaving, all I could do to get, you know, people to hear the word of the Lord and praise the Lord, I mean, was very, very difficult, especially when I was trying this on all my relatives, you know, my 10 siblings and my parents and all my friends and then all my nieces and nephews and cousins and second cousins and all that. Everybody was Catholic. You know, but and it took me 10 years and I couldn't get it. I couldn't grasp a lot of things. You know, I was still very, very confused because, you know, I had to unlearn Catholicism. And then that took 10 years. And so, you know, because I didn't even know, I thought Sunday was the Sabbath, and I thought that, I stopped the sign of the cross pretty quickly when I looked into that. And then the holidays, the Christmas and all the Easter things, you know, it took 10 years to unlearn that stuff. But it wasn't until I discovered the law of God and how it was part of the Christian experience, and this type of experience was just as miraculous as salvation itself. That's when it hit me. I mean, just as I was in awe as to how the Lord changed my mind back then, when I embraced him as Lord, the way his word opened up, and I've seen this in many of my brothers and sisters here in this church family, especially with the new ones that come in, it's amazing how the word opens up in regarding to how important his law was. And that was just as miraculous as anything else, because so many people seem to think today that you don't have to keep the law. Well, the basic reality is you can't. That's why I did that one video that where people keep on saying we're keeping the Sabbath to get saved. It says, no, we're keeping it because we are saved. No one can keep it unless you are a real Christian. It can't be done. That's why Jesus says, by their fruits you shall know them. And the fruits would be, well, look at the Holy Spirit's moving that person because he certainly couldn't keep the law of God without it. And this is when I was shocked even more, when I... You know, when that priest told me to stop reading the Bible, because he said it was confusing me. No, it wasn't. The Catholic Church was confusing me, so I guess he misunderstood me. But it was shocking to hear that priest say that. And it was, but it was not so shocking to see how the Catholic people ignored all the apostasy, because being an ex-Catholic, and some of you that are ex-Catholic know what I'm talking about here, I knew all too well about how, as a Catholic, I was never taught to read or even trust the Bible. I mean, that's the reason that priest thought I would have no issues with him saying what he did. He kind of figured, well, he's a Catholic. He's going to know the Bible's not that important. Tradition supersedes it. As a matter of fact, I got quotes from the Pope himself saying tradition supersedes Scripture. But when I came across Seventh-day Adventist leaders, I was floored at how many excuses they came up with to sanctify their reasoning behind staying in apostasy. I mean, that really confused me. I mean, it floored me because I knew they knew about the prophecies. Well, at least they echoed them. They may not have researched them and dug into them and found out about them. They may have just read up on what the pioneers said, so they echoed them. And, but they also know about the definition of Babylon, and they knew the plagues were, you know, about. And so they knew they would experience, they knew who would experience those plagues firsthand for staying in apostasy, just as much as the priest that told me to stop reading the Bible had to have known some of the stuff that he was preaching was just wrong. I mean, the fact that they don't, I mean, when you look at the Pope and the statements that he makes, especially when it comes in regards to their own dogma, because it's not doctrine, it's pagan dogma, it looks like if he reads the Bible, and I say a big if there, because it looks like he doesn't. But being a Jesuit as he is, he may read it only to destroy it. They look for ways to twist it. Because you cannot say those things without being totally blinded by Satan. Some of the things this man says, or all the popes say, actually. It's not just this man. So, yeah, I was not only shocked, I was appalled at how the GC leaders in the SDA church ignore how unclean they have become as well, just like that priest. But when it came to the SDA people, I was again shocked. And this is one of the reasons, and I'm sharing this because of the question. How unclean will we become just, you know, by remaining within the corrupted churches? Because unlike Catholics, Seventh-day Adventists actually read their Bibles. At least the ones I came across the last 23 years do. I mean, the excuses I heard from the pastors were echoed from the mouths of the people many times, but that's just par for the course if you don't do your daily Bible reading. But you know, some, like the Catholics, got varying with me as well. But in just the last 20 years or so, I've sadly discovered that, like we see in Rome, where most in the pews stopped reading their Bibles, more and more SDAs are doing the same thing today. And hence the reason some of the wise seekers that have come out already recently told me they never heard such truths as we share before. I remember the first time I heard that was back in Fire Talk days. When I was the very first room I opened up, Fire Talk was similar to what we're doing here. It was called Fire Talk back then, but it was a public server, and you got on there and you were able to do audio. And we started church services back then. This was back when the internet started. And there were a bunch of people that came up to me and they says, "Oh wow, this is amazing. We never heard this before." Because I opened up a room that said the Pope is the Antichrist, right? And then later on I softened it. Is the Pope the Antichrist? And then boom, we went from having 50 to 100, 75 to 100 families in there a day. And they quite often would come up afterwards and send a private message to me or something, or just outright get on the mic, as many would do, and say, "We'd never heard this before." And I would always ask them, "What's your denomination?" And then it'd be, all different types, of course, but every now and then someone would say they were SDA, and I go, "How on earth can this be new to you if you're SDA?" But they were young people. They had been born into the church, and it had already been infiltrated, because as a matter of fact, in that one video I just did the other day about the Pope getting caught lying, I show a section of the Jesuit oath where the Jesuits are literally told to go into the churches and act like Methodists or Protestants or SDAs or whatever the case may be. I don't think they mention the SDAs though by name, but that's what they do. So it's already been infiltrated, and so they've watered down the message. And so please keep them in prayer. As of right now, and according to our Bible, everyone in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, as well as the Catholic and all the Protestant churches, are unclean before the eyes of God. And unless they come out of those fallen churches, those plagues are going to fall on them just as prophecy declared they will. And the problem is a lot of them, especially with the SDAs, they'll actually think the definition of the word church means the denomination. No, the church are the called out people, the ones that follow the Lord whithersoever he goeth. You know, we adhere to original, ninth hour original Seventh-day Adventist theology in this church family, the Seventh-day Remnant people. We only changed the name because if we would have kept the name SDA, they would have sued us and thrown us behind bars like that guy out in Texas. And they've sued quite a few people. Remember the guy out in Florida. And they used Catholic and Jewish lawyers to do it. And so the Lord just gave us a new name, as he predicted in Isaiah. And so we go forward, but we didn't start another denomination. They say we have, but no. We kept the old one. They're the ones that changed it, because if you look at the statement of faith, theirs is different, ours is the same. But anyway, let's go to question number 27. I'm trying to race through this because I want to start that sanctuary series. So question number 27 is, what consequences are there if we should refuse to separate ourselves away from all corrupt and polluted connections with Babylon and instead be content to remain with the unclean? And again, this is just the studies and how they're ending, and I didn't format these. We're just going through them in more detail than if you were just getting baptized. But Micah chapter 2, verse 10 is the answer, I thought. Yeah, it is. Okay. So... okay, thank you. Sean was just giving Isaiah 65:15 in regards to the new name we have been given. All right, so the answer is Micah 2:10, which says, "Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction." See, this is what really confuses me. How can you stay in? This is your God talking from the Scriptures. How can people stay? And I know they're listening. I know they're on the radio and whatnot and stuff. And so I implore you, you've got to look at the, don't look at the gray areas. Don't look at the confusing statements that the leaders in the church say. Do as the Bereans do. Do your research. Even Spirit of Prophecy says the main fruit of Babylon is apostasy. I mean, this is why I have such a burden for Roman Catholics as well, since I started keeping Sabbath. And I have the same burden for the SDA people, as is obvious. And the only reason I mention these two is because they are the only two on earth that have people in their churches that will openly admit they know their church leaders are in apostasy. Where in all the other Protestant denominations, you got to kind of like pull it out of them. But they will eventually. I mean, I have a burden for the Catholic because I was born and raised a devout Roman Catholic. And for those of you that don't know, devout means, you know, rosary praying, going to Mass daily, every holy 8 day of obligation kind of Catholic. And so all my siblings are still trapped in that apostate church, and that's 10 of them. And yes, some have left and have joined with other denominations, but they're still in the same apostasy because it's still Rome, especially since June 26, 2000, when the One World Church was sanctified, or sanctioned, if you will, to that by them. And the reason I have a burden for the SDA is because after finding the truth in God's law and how prophecy predicted a blessed number of called out people would form an obedient church during the ninth hour period of prophetic history, the sad part comes in when I see how the 11th hour has come and also prophesied, and the majority of those called out souls have decided to remain in apostasy, claiming the ship will go through when the Lord plainly said in Micah 2:10, "This is not your rest." That church is boldly and utterly polluted with everything from homosexual leaders to their general conference declaring Allah is God. And yes, they do that in the exact same way the popes and prelates do. And what I mean is, in order to get the people to stay in the church while the Jesuits pump Vatican dogma into their hearts, when their leaders like Nelson or Carter, you know, Dwight Nelson or John Carter, declare Allah is God on camera or on 3ABN, not a single GC leader ever declared they needed to recant. That's how Rome works. Now, yes, you may hear them say homosexuality is wrong in the GC headquarters, just like the Vatican does. But have you ever heard them declare Loma Linda University religion professor Julius Nam needed to step down for promoting homosexuality on camera back in 2011? July of 2011? On a national news broadcast? We got that videotape. On SDA apostasy. No, you haven't heard from the General Conference because they can play both sides of the fence by keeping quiet. I mean, I recall as a young man going to one church wherein the priest said one thing that did not agree with the other priests, and most assuredly not with the Pope. But you never heard the Pope or the other priest speak out against them. That way, they could allow the pagan confusion to spread throughout the church while still claiming the leaders in Rome or in the GC are still strong Christians and keepers of the faith, holding up the banner. But inaction is just as deadly as preaching the lie. In fact, James 4:17 says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And so they're in a heap of trouble. When the SDA leaders declare Allah is God, homosexual marriage is okay, or chemo is an acceptable form of healing in Loma Linda, and the General Conference says nothing is, it's like a little child is doing wrong in front of the parents, and if the parent refuses to correct them in the wrongful act, the child assumes it's okay to do it, and so they just continue doing it. Well, that's also how Rome was able to spread pagan dogma into so many areas of the world. And now that the Jesuits have taken over all the churches, because they've had centuries to work on this, a lot of people seem to think, oh, you're really, just conspiracy theorists there. It's just, no, they've had centuries. I mean, it's just like the people that used to tell me, oh, the Catholic Church, no way. There wasn't even that many people in those regions for you to, how can you claim hundreds of millions of Christians were killed by the Catholic Church? I mean, there wasn't even that many people in those countries. I says, well, you're obviously taking me out of context to try to make your argument appear valid, but they did those killings during a 1,260-year period. And so that kind of, after that, of course, you're going to get crickets. But now that the Jesuits have taken over all the churches, to the point the church leaders are actually inviting them to openly speak in full Jesuit regalia, which is robes, on camera, like Walla Walla did on January 9th of 2018. Just a few weeks ago. Then it becomes quite, yes, an actual Jesuit was speaking at Walla Walla University. Then it becomes quite obvious. The church has fallen into the arms of Mother Rome and is right now reveling in sin just as the prophecy declared they would. And yet they call themselves a remnant. And at that too, another thing, they do that because they've got egg on their shirt. They're scared. They've got to yell they are the remnant because the real remnant is now on the planet. Going forth. The remnant of seed has gone forth. And so, in order to save face, they say they are the remnant. But at the same time, they can't preach Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7 if they say it. Nor can they even preach Revelation 12, 17. Because it openly shows two separate entities. The woman and the remnant of seed in Revelation. And then you got the third, sixth, or you got the early in the morning, third, sixth, ninth, and 11th hours. The ninth hour is not the remnant of her seed. The 11th is. So how can you be the ninth? How can the ninth hour people be the remnant people when it's only the 11th hour people that are going to be the remnant of her seed? You can't be the ninth and 11th hour at the same time. But if you don't preach those prophetic statements, if you don't bring up Matthew 20 or Revelation 12, well, then the people won't be any wiser. They'll say, yeah, we're the remnant. So please pray for those poor souls in the church who need to answer the call proclaimed in Revelation 18, verses 1 to 5. And yes, the SDA Church is in fact as Babylon, defined as Babylon now, because the main fruit of Babylon is apostasy in Scripture and Spirit of Prophecy. It's locked down already. She is not the whore of Babylon, of course. We know that. But a lot of people have, over the years, have taken me out of context and said I said that, but I never, ever did. I've got search engines on both my websites. You're going to look it up, and every time I say Whore of Babylon, it's always the Catholic Church. That title is specifically in Scripture reserved for the Roman Catholic Church. But as prophesied, that harlot was moved to have many daughters. And the SDA Church is now declaring themselves to be a faithful daughter of Mother Rome. This is why, on camera, their leaders wearing Jesuit robes, Seventh-day Adventist leaders, wearing Jesuit robes in a very sickly body, gluttonous body, if you will, declaring the Pope holy leader. Or giving him a Medal of Honor, as Bert Beach did many years ago. And so pray. Probation has closed on the Seventh-day Adventist Church corporate, as we know. I've said that many times online, and I have a page on the website proving it. We don't know when it happened. We just know the fruit is, you only know after the event occurred. It hasn't closed on the people yet. You know, the people in the church still have a chance to escape the plagues and damnation if they just obey the Lord Jesus and come out of her. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.